Gotcha. Give mind to the things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Seven, Chatcast,
but not really.
Chatcast,
Chickitten cast. Put chickens into casts. Why?
Because they're broken.
So you can make more of them. Anyways, I'm Severin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
Yay! And the man laughing over there is Panther. He's gonna hit me.
And drop the mic. Make him ask. God damn it!
Can you?
Throwing your equipment
edit out around. The gratuitous microphone handling noise.
Yeah, let's. I'll mess with that.
Okay,
totally. We'll fix it in post.
You never fix anything in post because fuck it, we'll do it live.
That's right. So this week's topic was just going to be a Schmodcast style Fuzz and Saverin just shoot the shit show.
Well, that's
because we were expecting that Shiva would be out.
Well, Shiva's not out. Shiva's in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her American healthcare. Woo! No.
Well, I was supposed to have a rather elaborate thing done, and yeah, my doctor couldn't quite get their ducks in a row, so it didn't happen.
Because somebody was molesting the ducks.
Yes.
Yes. You know, getting spinners installed. I don't see why you're doing it.
No, she's having the extra limbs attached. She's going lifestyler, full on lifestyler.
Oh man, you never go full lifestyler. So, man, this week has been kind of weird.
Yes.
Dealing with some drama and people attacking me, calling me a traitor. What the hell?
Yeah, well.
You know, I don't ever agree on attacking anybody by calling them a tranny or anything like that. It's really not cool, and you totally shouldn't do that. It's a really hot button for some people. But goddamn.
Yeah.
Quit getting mad at anonymous commentators on the internet. And being told you're a traitor to your LGBT status. I was like, that makes it sound so pathological. Yes. Like it's a disease.
Yeah.
What is your LGBT status? B. You don't exist.
Oh, I thought you meant like B like Buzz Buzz.
No. The bees are not in my eyes. Oh.
If everybody looks under their chair, you get a free bisexual! Yay!
Everybody's getting bisexuals.
You're getting bisexual! You're getting bisexual!
All the bisexuals.
Thanks, Opro.
Yeah, it's...
fucked up.
It's been kind of a fucked up week.
Yeah, then there was that day I snuck over and put my balls in your mouth.
I didn't really appreciate that. You know, I woke up nearly choking.
And I was like, oh, I like it when you gargle them. Let me tickle your tonsils.
You're just lucky I don't grind my teeth in my sleep.
No, I'm not into that extreme CBT.
My ex-husband used to, so we'd be lying in bed, and he'd be drifting, and suddenly I'd hear, creak, it's like, creak, it's like, nudged, wake up.
So I guess you never dropped your balls in his mouth.
No. No. There's a couple problems with that statement.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Ponies.
Ponies.
Oh, awesome.
So, what I'm doing right now is I went to Target today, and they had some of the new line of the plushes. These are... They're tiny little plush. And I was thinking about it, right?
And those are way too small to, like, sew a vagina to.
I know, right? You know, put a pinky in her pie, but it's just, there's not much there. The thing is, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, these are the size. They're only a little bit bigger than the brushables. Uh-huh. They're not anything that you could, like, you could give to, like, a little bitty kid for them to hug. But it's too small for, like, a stuffed animal like anyone would keep on their bed.
Mm.
These are stuffed animals. These little stuffed ponies are designed for people's cubicles, desks, and cars.
So they're for adults.
These are for adults.
Or for midgets.
Or midgets. But yeah, they're cute little plush ponies. There's Pinkie Pie and Dash and Twilight. And I was wanting to show Fuzz these before the show, but I didn't get a chance to. But I was like, oh, dude, I should pull these out and talk about them. Because, I mean, they're just cute little, they're $5, they're cute little plush. If you like ponies, they're something you can add to your desk. And I was just had this sort of revelation that, you know, these aren't designed for kids, in a way. These are designed for people to put in their cubicles and on their desks and by their computers.
But they didn't make the best pony.
They're getting to it, right? And they, okay. The three sets, there's not a Rarity one, a Fluttershy one, or a Pinkie Pie one either. So
you mean Applejack? No. Because you're holding Pinkie Pie. Because
well, of the three sets.
Oh, the three sets. Okay, I see.
But gotcha. Of the plush, there's Pinkie Pie, Dash, and Twilight.
Right.
Because, well, at least they got two of the best ponies. Sorry, Pinkie. So
who's your least favorite?
My least favorite?
Yeah.
Some Pinky?
It's kind of between Pinky and Applejack, I would say.
See, I like Applejack's personality.
Applejack's a good character, but she doesn't have enough characterization. And Pinkie Pie's Law Random XD lifestyle would bug the shit out of me.
God, these are really kind of adorable. Aren't they
cute?
I just was like,
they're also soft.
They're also really soft.
Yeah, they use like Minky or whatever. It's kind of impressive in a way.
Like their little tails and manes, these weird little ribbon.
Yeah, they things. Use like felt for the hair, but it's probably not that terribly hard if you're a professional to rehair them into something better. Just saying. So. That's my first derail of the show.
That's assuming that we actually have rails.
Yeah, we don't have rails this week.
We're just off the rails, period.
Well, because I also went to... Because Target's doing their fall-summer toy reset right now.
Yeah.
And this is where all the new products coming out. There's the fan-favorite set that's coming out mid-August. Like the little plush and the little Pocket Pony 3 sets. They came out today. So... Only one of the stores had them, but they're cute. I mean, they're the only way you can get, like, a Granny Smith figure.
Yeah.
Or a Gilda figure.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know.
What are the more unusual ones?
Yeah.
Surprise. It's kind of cool they made a surprise figure. Yeah,
Surprise the Wonderbolt.
That is kind of neat.
She hasn't actually been in the show as a Wonderbolt, has she?
She was in Secret of My Access.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Not as surprised, but as generic blonde-maned white Pegasus in Wonderbolt uniform.
Oh, okay.
So
that was your successful shopping trip of the day.
I picked up more. I spent over $100 on pony products today, though more than half of that is actually going to somebody else who's paying me back for them tomorrow.
So Panther won't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
It's really kind of funny that Tyrion had this threat that for every pony I bring into the house, he's going to add a badger to the collection. Except for the fact that, like, twice now, I have acquired pony stuff because Tyrion's college friend gives them to him to give to me.
So he's bringing them into the house.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get a badger to go with that pony?
He can't hold me responsible if he goes, here, clink, these badges are from BronyCon, you know? and the dice. I have dice now with cutie marks engraved, laser etched.
So if you ever played a game with dice, you would have your own custom set.
Yeah.
Except, well.
Which is kind of cool, because the Nordgard card game that Sofawolf put out, it comes with dice, too, and it has, like, the Nordgard logo.
Neat.
Engraved on there. They found a custom dice manufacturer. It's probably similar company that did the pony ones.
Probably. So I was like,
that's pretty cool.
But, yeah, it's been a week.
I have had such a shitty week at work.
Mm.
Just... So, I do tech support, but ever since we started, you know, just slowly letting things attrition down, I keep getting stuck doing QA work, which, if you work for a software company, means we just wrote something new, here, see if you can break it. So you have to, you know, go through little scenarios, try to think every way that you can break it, but it's usually a kind of a controlled environment, so you set it up these ideas and you put it through the paces. Well, the problem is that the website that we run, we've been doing feeds from external websites into ours. And the data as we're pulling in is not something we can super control because there is such a huge amount of it in the way that the feeds work. The long story short is that one thing that I had to do this week to basically QA is involve pulling in a file and then all of the 120,000 photos in from this feed.
What?
And that's because we're updating our database. Mm. And I had, the problem is that when it just wasn't working right, and it wasn't working right. So I kept, it kept breaking, and then I'd have to wait for them to restart, and then restart. Happening. So a good chunk of the day, I'd start, and it'd break. And start, and it'd break. And... God damn it. It's like, guys, it's like we can't make it rerun any faster because we'll kill all the bandwidth for the office trying to make this all run again. So we had to wait for everything to work over the weekend. But I've been trying to do this for like the last 3 days to do anything. And it's just been driving me insane because it's my main task. We've also had interns for like the last 4 weeks, which have taken up, they got assigned a lot of the stuff I do. So I didn't actually have a lot to do other than this project. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to vainly pretend that I'm keeping busy so they don't lay me off or anything else like this. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of just sitting around twiddling my thumbs, praying somebody doesn't notice that, hey, Shiva doesn't have a lot to do, you know?
Mm.
So, oh... just been
take her out behind the shed.
Yeah.
All them extra limbs cost us money.
So it's been crazy. We've had a friend in the hospital, so last weekend he was staying over for a couple days, debating whether or not he was gonna go in and get looked at, and finally it's like, no, you're going in. So one of my mates ended up spending the day with him down at the hospital for all day Sunday. He took off work again Monday, spent it all day Monday with him as well. And just so been spending a lot of time in and out of the hospital visiting. He's still in there a week later. It's been kind of a crappy time.
Yeah, that's serious business right there.
Yeah.
They're not anticipating him being out to Monday, so that would have been a full week in care. And he's bored out of his skull. I don't blame him, but it was pretty serious.
Yeah, you can't muck about with his issue.
Yeah, he really waited too long. Other than that, that's mostly my two frustrations of the week.
Yeah.
So, had fun at your place on Tuesday, though.
Yeah, that was great. We need to do that more often, I guess. We said that the last time we did a pool party there.
Yeah.
And now we're not going
to
be...
Well, now we just need to do, like, arbitrary pool parties.
Yeah, just...
In the meantime.
Hey, look, it's Tuesday. Time for pool party. Because that's a really nice pool.
I know, and we're not going to be there that much longer, though.
We should take advantage of your pool.
It's the second Tuesday before the full moon party. Yay!
Just make up reasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Sakura's birthday. Yay!
It's the Hay Moon celebration. Let's get drunk.
But no, we
get some of that sweet pony ass.
Wait, that'll be later. We had birthday cake. We get hot dogs. Soda, hot dogs,
hot wings.
Just everybody came paddling around Walmart the pool. Hot
wings.
Yeah, well, the wings and you know, the pool and just having a good time.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't have a swimsuit, but I hung out by the pool and I dangled my feet in the water.
Well, that might be fun. I mean, just have a couple people like grab pizzas on the way over and just, you know.
Yeah.
Have ourselves an impromptu pizza and pool party orgy.
I'd be down with that, sure. We had a real good time.
Or something, you know, bring something with you, share out.
Yeah.
And go that way. I mean, that would be fun.
So I guess my week's been fairly eventful then, because I was off work today because Tieran and I had the inspection on the new house that we're looking at 9 this morning.
Yeah, and it was early.
I just decided to take the day off, and I did some for Planet Work in the afternoon. But no major issues with this house. There's a lot of little things. I'm going to get to flex my plumbing muscles because I did like a lot of plumbing work and upkeep on my mom's house when she lived there. And there's stuff like, you know, the toilet's going to need bolted down properly. There's one of them is loose. That's 3 bathrooms, so it's not like we can't.
Let one go.
The bathroom, yeah. They probably just let this one go because it's off in a side hall, sort of. But yeah,
it's the shitter that time forgot.
Yeah, but 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, solarium, game room, parlor, formal dining room.
Nice.
You have all atrium. The rooms.
Yeah, yeah. It
looks like.
It's an amazing house. It's
for you and Tieran and what you do. I mean, that's
The game more room. We will be selling the pool table that the house comes with, which it's neat that there's a game room with a pool table in it. But the game room is the right size for Planet's production room. That's what's going in there.
So you have a permanent, you know, full size production room with all your printers in one place.
Yep, that's the
plan.
You're
not going to have them scattered about the house in their orphan locations?
No.
Some in the living room, some in the bedroom.
One in the bathroom under the sink.
Just a printer, yeah.
You're sitting on the crapper one day, door pops open, comic pops out, loose leaf. Could you bring me the toilet?
Damn it, I told you not to print orders in here. I wipe my ass with your order. Yeah, no.
No, he doesn't do that.
No, I don't. No, hopefully all of our planet will be in the one room. We're going to put a lot of bookshelves in there for stock as well. Pardon me. Damn it, I really do need to stop yawning on the show. I don't know why I do it. It's something about a microphone in front of my mouth. It's really big. It makes me open my mouth really wide, and then that leads right into a yawn. So if I wasn't so damn cock hungry, this wouldn't happen.
Cock but, thirsty.
Cock thirsty. But anyway, yeah, so we're really, really happy. We're not 100% there yet. I mean, we have to have closing is on August 26th, you know, and we have to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed on our mortgage application and all that still. But if all goes well, we close and get the keys on the 26th, and then we'd probably be moving over the month of September, which would be kind of crazy because we have like 3 cons that month.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
Including one weekend where Saffron and I are going to Austin.
Yep.
What's in Austin?
A 2-day brony.
It's a small con called the Brony Fanfare, and there's really not a lot of information out there. And I emailed them, right?
Yeah.
And their response was very, not I wouldn't say canned, but they're like, "We'll get your information when we post it." And it's
were you asking about like guests and who's?
I was just like, I and a bunch of my friends are planning on coming down to this event. We just would like to know what's going on. It's pretty close, and
so panels and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like let us know what's going on. I mean, it's being put together by a couple of guys that run anime conventions down there, like, I think, IkiCon.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, they know what they're doing, but I don't know if they know what they're doing. Because the actual other Brony conventions have heard nothing from them.
Well, they did reply to me. I emailed them because I tried to use the the group code to reserve the hotel room, and it was out for Friday night. It was sold out. So, you know, I got Holiday Inn, did some jiggery pokery on the back end to basically get me the convention rate. But I emailed them and said, hey, you might want to add some more rooms to your room block. And they thanked me for emailing them. Yeah. So
I'm not going to take their response as being like curt or rude or anything. It just seemed very like, you'll get your information when you post it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, like, when, if, are you going to do this? Because
you'll get the panel schedule when it's good for you.
I'll have to wait till I get my little con bag and look inside, and there might be a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So, yeah, you and I, hey, we're going to do this. Like, six or seven other local people were like, yeah, let's go.
We're not all staying in the same hotel room.
No, we're not.
Yeah, originally I was like, let's go down there Friday after I get off of work, and then we can get down to Austin Friday evening, we can eat somewhere, we can chill and do the social thing, and then go just to the con. Because it's just a two-day con. It's Saturday, Sunday only.
And we're not doing anything official there. I mean, you're not selling. I'm not being anybody other than random Jonathan Q. Brony.
Mm-hmm.
And...
So you're not being Chef Sandy of Bronyville, descending from on high?
Why, no!
I'm sure you'll pass out some business cards.
I probably will. And why would you say that?
Well, no on this show, dude.
It's still one of those...
2 weeks ago, they were like, hey, is Fuzz inky? And we were like, yes.
Yeah, I know. But it's one of those things that we're going to go and we're going to cover the event.
Are you Chef Sandy of Bronyville, living at 1234 Happy Street, Ponyville, USA?
Oh, shit.
is your number 812-555 Pony?
You're doxing me live on air, man. What the hell? But we're going to basically go down there and cover the event like journalists, as it were.
Oh, I thought you meant with my fat.
No.
We're going to extend from end to end. Do you know the intestines in your body, if you were to take them out and line them up side by side, you'd die?
Well, yes, I did. I mean,
oh, that's a good one. It'll be cool. I mean, it's, I don't know how big it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I and my compatriots, including you, will have all sorts of perspectives, and we'll basically get to be the only sort of quote-unquote brony media coverage of the event.
You know, I should have some brony business cards printed up, because I'm like the hipster brony, because I'm not involved at all. So I'd be like, Inky Spots, you probably haven't heard of me.
Yeah.
Except some might have, actually.
Well, some have that listened to the two or three episodes of the other show that I'm on, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of them things.
No, I'm amused by that. That I can actually go to a con and not have people know who I am. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, unless they do.
Like, undercover lover. We should fuck each other. Well, it's like
going to, me going to A-Con this year.
Yeah.
Aside from the people that I was specifically there to see, I was, you know, I didn't wear anything other than just my regular badge.
Mm-hmm.
Then people just kind of like, who's that?
Don't talk to him. He's a traitor to his kind. Ponies know queers.
You're a traitor to mutant kind, Professor Shazandi. Gravity squeeze. No, the... it'll be cool, and then also that same month I'll be up in Ohio, so I've got two cons in September.
Nice.
And I decided I want to try and go to MFN this year. This may or may not succeed, but I've never been. despite it being like the second closest con other than Furry Fiesta, mm-hmm. I've never actually done MFM. But, you know, I figured it was time.
Yep. I decided I'm going. I have tables.
You actually, so you're dealing?
I'm dealing, yes. Oof. I know I never do that at MFM.
Yeah, I know. Well, that and just... What? I thought you hadn't. You weren't going to.
I was on the fence about it. But, you know, I'm like, I'll go. Because Tyrion's...
It's like, I guess.
Tyrion's doing RMFC, and then, like, 2 weeks later is MFM. He's doing that one solo. I'll take this one, basically.
He's like, bitch, if I'm doing one solo, you're doing one solo.
No, we didn't have a talk about this. He didn't give a shit.
He didn't snap.
No, he didn't care one way or the other. See, he's not going this year. So if I wanted to not go and just stay home and enjoy my 3-day holiday weekend with my mate at home, actually probably moving shit into our new house.
Too bad.
You know, that I could have done that, but... He's actually kind of glad I'm going because then he gets to go through the closets and throw all my shit away before we move.
You can't say
the no. Badger wants to dig into the closets. He's like,
no, my Vicky Wyman porn collection from 1989. No.
Yeah, he wants to dig. Badger wants
no,
to be
no, you're all lesbian unicorn issue of
I've got
Genus.
That somewhere.
I know you do. I've seen it.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's in your bedroom somewhere.
Oh, God, what else have you seen in my bedroom?
I think you have a lot of pornography on your walls.
Oh, shit.
I could be wrong, but I think there's a lot of animal people fucking.
Yeah, there's a lot of cock.
It's not even just dog people. It's animal people. It's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah. They're naked and they're
fucking.
Fucking dead. Like, cocks out and tits and everything.
Seen some shit.
Yes.
So
you're an Arctic fox now. It turned you white. The other thing that I got done this week that I'm very happy about. So originally my plan last year, after shit calmed down a little bit around October, November, I was going to do a bunch of ebooks and get them out around November in time for the holiday season because people get Kindles for Christmas. And then my mom passed away.
Yeah.
And everything just went completely...
Tits up.
Yeah.
Understandably so.
Which, definitely understandably. And then, you know, so we had a lot of catch up to do. And then we had, oh my God, Anthrocon. And now that we're past AC and right in the middle of buying a house, so shit's not really that calm, but it's a little bit calm, I'm finally getting around to making ebook versions of some of the books that I had meant to put out last year. So, we've just added 3 of our anthologies to the Kindle. So, now you can get Fortune Teller's Poem, Will of the Alpha, and Holidays on Kindle.
Hmm. Cool.
So, that brings us up to like a dozen titles
on
Kindle.
How long does it take you to convert a book to Kindle format?
It can be a little bit tricky, but I'm actually getting quite good at it. Usually, this last one probably took me like 2 or 3 hours. And it's a little bit more involved because there's interior images mm-hmm. and stuff like that to deal with. If it's just text, it's a little bit faster. But I'm getting better at it because there's multiple different ways that you can do it, depending on whether you're using InDesign or whether you're using Word. And, you know, each has their pluses and minuses, but I'm getting it down where it's taking me less time each time. So if I can get one done in like a couple of hours from here on out, then I'll be pretty happy. And then there's the uploading it, and they say it takes about 12 hours to get approved for Amazon to make it live. It actually only takes like 3, maybe 4 hours. They give themselves that padding, but they're pretty quick about it, actually. Like, I put Holidays up this afternoon at around 4, and I discovered it went live when we were out at dinner, because I had done a search on it. Just like, let me see if this thing is up yet. Oh, there it is. Yep.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. So, you know, just putting a word out there. If you're looking for more for planet books or furry books on the Kindle, you know, go ahead and check those out. Also, actually, I'll just go ahead and mini for Planet announcement time here. Kyle has announced the title and has posted a link to the cover art of his next book, which is called Winter Games. It's coming out at Rain First, and it's the latest in the Cupcakes series. Why are you petting your Rainbow Dash?
Because he can.
Okay, I was like, does Winter Games mean anything?
Cupcakes.
Oh, jeez. Okay, yeah, for those in the brony community, you know what unpleasant connotation Cupcakes has.
And if you're not, then you don't care.
For Furfax, Cupcakes is a line of novellas, you know, by Rikoshi, Kyle Gold, and Foosball. So Kyle's is coming out, and Sabretooth Ermine is doing the cover and interior art
on
there.
I like Sabretooth stuff.
Yeah, yeah, she's really good. The cover that he that she posted is just, oh my god, it's really great. And I'm sure Kyle is really happy with how the interior illustrations are shaping up as well. So that's our big thing when we're at Rain First, which I'll also be at. Oh, and I updated the list of conventions and who from Fur Planet is going to be there, and that's on the website and blog, so... For those of you that are going to some of the cons, you can check out and see where we're going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope I can make MFM this year. I mean, I've got that whole doctor stuff pending. That's right. Mostly what's going to put a spin on it, is if they can get me in too close to MFM, or God help me right before, then, oh God, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit in quietly and heal.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm curious what it's like. I haven't been to that one. Looking at Oklacon after that, and then of course Furry Fiesta.
Yeah,
oh, the Fiesta. Let's see. That's so. Is MFM more of a social con than a dealing con? Or I just have heard you say that sales are kind of eh.
Yeah, sales are a little on the slower side. It's not one of our major conventions. I guess it's mostly social. Mm-hmm. It's a little smaller, too. It's like 600-700 people.
Okay. And I've heard a bunch of stuff, and mostly people seem to go there not so much for anything else, but just to see people, I guess. Mm-hmm. At least I haven't heard, like, lots and lots of, you know, they're having, you know, lots of love for the panels or much of anything else like that, but it's a good meetup and socialize con.
Right.
So, we...
Yeah, a lot of people just go to just kind of hang out and stuff.
We shall see. Depending on how finances are go, I might see about setting up, and I don't know what their alley rules or anything. Sit down and take a couple pieces or something. I don't know.
Okay. Pretty cool.
We'll see. I just got to decide on if I want to actually spend my days doing that. Because, you know, it's, I don't know. I haven't done a lot of the art stuff lately, so we'll see.
Yep.
So
let's take a look at some of these emails we got.
Email.
Because it is 36 minutes, and we actually got a bunch of emails in the time that we posted. And we'll see what they have to say. All right. I really don't know where to turn. All right, guys, this is an advice email. Dear friends and givers of advice, over the years, you've guided me through several 9/11-esque relationships. Forgive my spelling and grammar because I'm now very drunk due to this fiddlesticks fiasco. I have come out to my parents and friends as a male to female trans, and they're going over much more swimmingly than I thought. My first relationship was a use and lose on their part. The second is a suicidal lover that almost succeeded. And now the boyfriend who's my idol, my golden image of perfection, my hope for a better life, gone. I just don't know where to go from here, and I need your help. I love him so very dearly. I miss him as I miss my own heart if it were torn from my feeble chest. I thought that he loved me, yet even as the blade of damnation is piercing my soul, tearing it to bits, he still claimed to love me. He was my rock for a long time as a mountain stood, stares to the heavens. In the words of Derpy herself, I just don't know what went wrong. I ask not for the answers of the future, nor the great questions of old. What I plead for you is the answer, what now? I feel so lost and broken that I need guidance. Forgive this speed bump of text, and thank you for all the brighter days. A snow leopard lost in the wilderness of time. Sendfire.
Well, it, It wasn't a wall. It was a needed speed bump. So
that was a very interesting. That was a very well written email.
Yes, very very prose. I can't talk, so forgive me.
So I mean, this happens in pretty much all long term relationships that fall apart. You really do need to lean on your friends at this point in time. Not, you know, not like constantly burden and, you know, complain and pine, but be around your friends and don't be afraid to speak, you know, about your feelings, because breakups can be pretty gnarly.
Mm-hmm. And painful.
Don't be afraid to talk to your friends and be around them. And, you know, I hope for your sake that they're very understanding, because stuff like this, when it's a really, really big loss, it takes a while to get over. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need some, basically, you need healing time, because you can't just, well, most people can't just be like, nope, done. Yeah. On to the next.
Walk away. Now, yeah, at this point, it's going to be a lot of crying, and it will come back in waves. Don't worry if you're not getting over it fast enough, because it takes freaking time. But over time, things will ease. They will get better, and it'll be a little less sharp as time goes on. But friends, family, just kind of do your best to reach out and keep people around you. That'll help you keep sane. Being alone is kind of when you'll hit your most crazy and you're most depressed and the most painful. Mm-hmm. Usually if you've got someone to talk to, even if it's not about the relationship itself, but just games or books or whatever your passions are, it'll help you not be alone. And try to do it in person, because for whatever reasons, when you're sitting and looking at a phone or at a computer screen and you're just typing it all out, it's not quite the same thing. You can actually, I find myself spiraling downwards. Whereas if I can get out and be around a person, it usually helps swing you back the other way.
Yeah. That's like, because I have times where I'll have a dark mood and a half going on, and if it's late at night, staring at the computer screen, and I know it's happening, but I don't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Existential crises at 1 a.m. are never fun.
No. No, they're not. It's sometimes a matter of get up, get away from the computer, go do something else, even if it's, I don't know, go for a drive or, you know, whatever. Just try and just break whatever you're doing and move on. It helps break the moods. So
there you go. I hope that has been helpful to your conundrum.
Sorry. I bumped the microphone there.
I was like, what's going on?
I'm trying to grab my iPad again there.
Okay, so yes. Let's see. I did it. let's see. Hello, Sheriffs of Nottingham. This is my first email to you guys. I've been listening for God knows how long, committed fan. Okay, I have a relationship question for you guys. For a few months, I've been seeing a girl I met through a friend. For a couple weeks, we first met, we were able to meet all the time, as we were both out of college for a couple weeks. However, after we went back to college, work on her part and distance on mine have kept us apart. We've only been able to meet a single hour in the last 2 months. This definitely turning into a long-distance relationship, and the problem is that I've had very bad experiences with LDRs and promised myself after the last one that I would never do it again. I am very unhappy without being able to see her, and neither of us have been in a position to move anytime soon, nor can we drive. I'm learning, but it will be a year until I can drive on my own. She feels the same, but the only problem is every time I bring it up, she goes all cute and sweet, making it impossible for me to do anything about it. I actually think she does it consciously because she is scared of me leaving. I personally wonder if we should give it a break until next year when she moves to my college and we can both drive. I'm not sure what to do, though, because I know she will be really hurt if I actually put this into action. Do you guys have any ideas on what I should do about the situation? I really care for her, but I don't think I can go on a relationship without seeing her. Help! Your faithful listener, John Blackpaw the Fosky. P.S. Saturn's voice makes me moist.
Moist.
It's a question, how do I make this LDR more bearable?
I guess. I mean, because if you really dig this chick and she really digs you, breaking it off for being an LDR post facto isn't the smartest.
Yeah.
I am a little concerned, though, because I'm getting the sensing the emotional manipulation here of her going all cute and sweet. No, I don't know. I'm just a girl. I mean, you know, whatever she says.
I should be back in the kitchen making me a sandwich.
Didn't mean it exactly like that, but just the people when they go all cute and sweet and, you know, all ditzy. It's like,
The whole thing is like it's just something here. I promised myself after the last one I would never do it again. Oh, God. How many times have I promised I will never do that to myself and completely and utterly
failed to listen to yourself?
Well, my biggest one is when I first got on the internet. I discovered there were people all over the world to talk to. I made it, it's like, okay, I'll try to date people just in states local to me, not too long of a drive, and never off overseas, and especially not Australians. Well,
because those guys, let me tell you.
And then what do I do? Meet one when he was in the U.S., fall in love, live in Australia, marry him, stay with him for 9 years, and then get divorced. So, yes, that promise.
So, again, don't trust those Australians.
And, of course, my own, after the whole Australian fiasco, promised myself of, oh, you're giving up this whole poly thing. Yeah, no more, you're going to stick with your one relationship, and, you know, yeah, go back to being open, because open, fuck, that is fun, and, yeah, first friends with benefits I hooked up with, yeah.
Became something else,
and, oh, look, another mate. So, yeah, became don't...
something else? He turned out to be a lizard in disguise?
Yes, he is very much a lizard. He rips off his face. He's nothing but lizard underneath.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That would explain some things.
You're dating V.
Oh, gosh.
No. See, he unzips the front and tons of little house geckos pour out.
You know, he listens to this he's going to, like, come home and go, what were you talking about?
And they all want to save you money on car insurance.
Well, considering... where
it's like that one comic where they take off Tali's faceplate and there's nothing but spiders inside.
I just threw my phone.
Yes.
You asshole.
Spoilers, guys. Quarians are nothing but hundreds of thousands of spiders in the pressure suits.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just having fun.
Oh, the other night when going out to the pool, when we were coming in, there was a big-ass spider hanging out, and I walked right past it. Uh-huh. And the mate came away from me, I was like, oh, my God, it's like spider. I'm like, where? And then I realized it's like right there. It's like, ah.
Yeah.
So... we're walking back out to the pool, so I stopped and I looked at those trees to make sure the spider hadn't come back down. Mm-hmm. And I walked past, and just as I walked past it, he flips the back of my hair with his hand.
Oh,
I turned around, I punched him.
So what are you talking about, Saverin? Is this a movie or something?
Okay, the Quarians are a race in Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
They're aliens that have lived in their sterile flotilla environment for generations at this point.
Uh-huh. And they have no
immune systems because of it. So they have to wear pressure suits pretty much everywhere.
Okay.
That maintains a sterile atmosphere, because if they get a tear in their suit, they're going to get an infection.
Mm-hmm.
If their air is compromised, they get infections.
So they have to have the full body condoms. Didn't we talk about this before?
Pretty much, except okay. It's space full body condoms.
Right.
Because
you'd be all, I'll show you an ass effect. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's this cute little comic that, Shepard, I want to show you how much I trust you. Adorably shy hand-wringing. Fucking pink text. Oh, shit. Click. She takes off the mask. Well, gosh, Tali, this is quite the honor. I'm touched. That you, she takes the mask off. Nothing but spiders. Horrible spiders. Spiders everywhere.
Oh,
hey, Commander, you have a new message at your private terminal. Shepard, I wasn't expecting to hear from Spider. I'll put a link in the show notes. In fact, I'm doing it right this second, so you can enjoy the.
What was that?
That was Panther telling me that I was wrong, and that it's that they're they have super allergies instead.
Okay.
Their body overreacts.
Panther's also causing GSM noise on the recording.
Uh-oh. And hey, look, she wanders back in. Yay!
Yay! She was off communing with her spider gods or something. I don't know.
Yep.
You know, they make great little natural vibrators. They feel all wriggly.
And
I'm going to hit you.
They're fuzzy, again. And they can come and have eight little angles that they can work at once.
Yeah. No. They have all those legs to hug you with.
Yeah, the,
No! No spider hugs.
Can you imagine how many hugs you would get if, like, a whole egg sack burst off without
you? You asshole.
Play nice, kids. Don't make my shitty couch any worse.
That's a hell of a way to talk about your co-host.
So it's pick on Shiva night, as opposed to pick on Sabra night.
Well, I gotta spread the love. And by love, I mean thighs.
What? Hey, anyways.
I should read an email.
Yeah, you should read an email.
Okay. Alright, not that one. Episode 187. As your 187th episode will be just chatting, why not tell everyone what made you pick your fursona? Or have you changed it since you joined the fandom? What have you changed it from? Thanks again. Keep up the great podcast, Hex. Okay. So, what made you pick your fursona? We've probably discussed this on the show before, but it's been a long time, so we can go ahead and give her a quick rundown.
It's a quick topic. So, I picked foxes because I was a Robin Hood furry. I came in because that was one of my favorite VHS when I was a kid. I watched four of them, I think, into pieces, and I thought Robin was kind of hot. My introduction to furry came when I had AOL and dial-up and was searching for Robin Hood stuff on the proto-internet back in the mid to late 90s. Larval
stage of the internet.
Back at AOL 3.0, searching on web crawler or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Back with a spider, goddammit!
Metacrawler. Spidernet. No. and found the Orlando Furry Archive.
SOL, Spider Online.
And then I found Chris Sawyer's Unicorns Fucking, and, well, that's the story of my life. So, anyways, I thought the foxes, anthro foxes, cool. So I was an anthro fox. And then I was an anthro fox. And then I was like, I'm going to be a Texas fox, a swift fox.
Then you realized you can't move very fast, so
I became a fennec.
Okay.
All the ears and all the biting.
So, fox, and fox.
All the fox.
Because fox.
Fox. I just imagine your character now just being like, fox, like a fucking Pokemon. fox.
Fuck, fennec used ears. It's super adorable. Fox.
So, you?
I've had a weird, I guess I had a sort of interest or affinity or fascination with wolves since I was a kid.
Fur affinity?
Yeah. I was the one to make that joke the last time we talked about this.
Yes, well, it's terrible, so neither of us should have done it.
Right. And I remember being like 11. And like getting into wolves, but also really getting into werewolves and stuff like that. So when I first got on the internet, I was in college and going into the college computer lab. And back in my day, then I did a search on the internet for werewolves, and I found the werewolf community. But I also found like Wookiee and Foxfire's artwork along with that. So I started out in the were community, and then I kind of crossed over into the furry community because that was a better fit for me because I didn't have really the spiritual beliefs that go into the wear side of things. And so I've just always been a wolf. And I know a lot of people, much like foxes, a lot of people consider wolves to be a starter species.
But consider our start time as well. We've both been involved in furry for, well, comparatively extremely long times.
True, yeah.
You know, well, I was like 13 when I found, yeah, because it was 96.
Mm-hmm.
I was 13 when I found furry.
Wow. So you've actually been a furry longer than I have then.
Yeah.
Because I found it in like 98.
I mean, I wasn't like an active participant until I was like 17 or 18.
Uh-huh.
But I sure liked the porn and the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd read some of your stories in my teens, early teens.
And fap to them.
What's that, me of your? Click here to say I'm 18? Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do that.
Yeah, everyone knows people do that, but you got to cover your ass. Yeah.
CYA. CYA.
Yeah, it's, yeah. But I had read some of your stories before I met you, Fuzz.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I forget that sometimes, you know, and I've had other friends.
I also read some of Tyrion's stories.
And I've had people tell me they read my stories when they were 14, when they were 12.
I can fap to that.
And I'm like,
and I did.
Yeah. And as an older furry now, it's like, oh my god, don't tell me that, you know.
Yeah, I have to remember though that, you know, when you wrote those stories, we were all much younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now
yeah.
It's like, you know, we're our ages, and now you're like, I'm still having these young kids telling you, I love your stories.
Yeah. The age gap seems a lot more creepy when, you know,
yeah,
when you're like 14 years older than when you wrote the stories, you know? And you look on, it makes you feel old sometimes. You go on So Furry, and it tells you how many years ago your stories were posted. And it's like, this story posted 10 years ago. And they're just like, oh my god, it's just so far back in the archives that, mm-hmm. you know, no one will ever find it.
And they do.
And, yeah, people still do. I still get comments on some of the old stories occasionally.
I still get people finding my stuff on So Furry and reading them, so I'm like, neat. Yeah. I wish FA would give a better format for stories than what they have. I mean, it's really kind of eh. But, anywho, Chakat. I've always liked felines. And always liked big cats. I really liked Goldfur's art and stories when I ran across them. Didn't feel right making a Chakat character at first, so I started out as a fox. But that's because I didn't feel right stealing his idea until I ran into Goldfur, asked him, hey, do you mind? And he said, no, go ahead. And it was like, that was like 2 months after I rolled my fursona, so...
Mm-hmm.
It was like a tidge at the front, and just until I managed to get permission, so I don't even really count as starting as a fox.
Yeah.
Pick Chakat because, well, like I said, I like the stories, I like the art, I like the concept behind the race, and to be honest, I like being a Herm. I like being both male and female, and everything that went into it. So, it, and I also, if you read the Chakat stories. They are very pseudo-hippie, and they are very much into the poly big.
We've got both bits, why don't have more than one?
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking that. I'm like, oh, you know, if I had a badge, maybe I would be more sexually promiscuous or something. Well, I don't know.
They have all
not
the
saying
things.
That people with badges are sexually promiscuous. Just saying that, hey, I got a dick, I got a badge, I got an anus.
Find something for everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Plug and play, bitch. Check it.
I always like the big extended families as that's part of the stories and everything else like that. So
you don't get to pick up chicks at a family reunion, do you?
No.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
It's a little bit safer than picking up male cousins, though, right?
I guess, yeah. Because you might have, like, an eight-limbed spider baby.
Spiders!
Yeah, like...
I guess that's a theme.
Four arms, four legs, eight heads. And it's a Herm.
Anywho. God damn it.
Spider sex. Panther's trying to tell me something without saying it.
Eight limbs, each has eight penises.
Flop, 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 flop. Flop.
They're very squishy to walk on. So, well, maybe that's how they're able to climb up walls. They're coming all the time.
This is going terrible places, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of my analogies lately seem to end up being like, yeah, there's dicks everywhere, and they're coming all over the place.
Spider tangent.
Again!
Oh, God, it's a spider tangent.
I'm just glad we don't have clock spiders here.
Nope, we don't. We have incredibly deadly small ones.
Thank fuck. Wait, no? Oh, yeah, we have the brown recluses here, too.
Yep.
Yeah, they're evil. I've known people that have been bitten by them.
Yeah.
It's pretty horrible. So, Saverin, you want to read anything? Or do you want to stop and save?
Let's see. I'm just, like, looking at this. Someone sent us an...
I'm just going to talk about that. Let's talk about that on the break. See if you want to do that or not.
It's really long.
I know. You'll get used to it.
I just told the mate that he was full of geckos, and he went, what?
She's out of context. Just, yes. You're full of geckos. Deal with it.
She's like, what?
I'll explain. Yay. I'll explain later.
that was All Is Not Lost, a Serious Business Remix by OK Go off the Humble Music Bundle at humblebundle.com.
I really like OK Go.
Check that out. And 6 albums for like $15 and money goes to charity and the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Check it out, guys. It's good stuff. And we have an item from AdamandEve.com. Take it away, Shiva.
Oh, like, I know about things going in my ass.
You should. Everybody has a butt.
I do. I have a better place.
I guess.
I'm just imagining that as like a comic or something. A better place.
So, got shown a very funny video. It's put out by Tantus, who makes a lot of sex toys. It's a amusing little video called Not In Your Butt. If you go to YouTube, you can very easily look up. It is actually hilarious. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole list of basically a gal going over a list of things that people have had to have removed from their rectums because they lost a grip. So when you're using an anal toy, you want to use something with a broad base so it doesn't get away from you. Getting it out can be difficult to impossible without having to go and have a very, very unpleasant conversation with a hotel staff. As Fujimaru Husky related a couple of weeks back.
You mean hospital staff?
What did I say?
You said hotel.
I was like, well, you might be in for a long stay either way.
Yeah. You might be at a furry con and have to explain to the hotel staff. And they'd be like, I didn't really need to know that, sir. Let me just call 911.
I'm sorry, sir, but you seem to have put something in your butt. Would you like me to call the valet?
Are there any vets here? Because I have a feeling someone needs to get their whole hand in there to remove this. It's kind of like birthing a calf. It just needs someone to reach in there.
So, yeah, I think, was Fuji live when he told us the various stories about things that got removed from his hospital? Like the vibrator that escaped up there? Well, it was still on.
Well, he wasn't dead, if that's what you mean.
Well, I mean, was he on mic? I just can't remember if he told that on mic or not.
I don't know. I think he might have shared a couple of those stories on the show.
So, yeah.
Things in your butt.
So, there's an amusing video. And this week's item from Adam is Eve is also from Tantus. It's called The Little Flirt. It's a little butt plug, not very big. Let's see. Does it give the size? It's only 4 inches. It's got a nice broad base, tapered base, so it'll fit in there comfortably. Let's see.
So you put it in base first, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. New and improved for anal beginners, made with a higher standard in the adult industry to give you years of fun. Contains 100% ultra-premium platinum silicone, the highest quality on the market. So it's got 4.5 stars. It's got, like, 7 reviews. It's just a nice little beginner butt plug. Tantus is a really well-known company, makes some really high-quality products. On Adam and Eve, it goes for $32.95, but as always, we have our coupon code NOT.
K-N-O-T!
And if you plug that in, you'll be able to get it for half price, so $16.48. You also get free shipping, a mystery gift, and three free DVDs.
Fuck tapes.
Yes. So you get porn to use while you've got something shoved up your ass.
Yay!
Butts. And isn't that all we really want out of life?
Yes.
We all need a little bit of secret butt fun from time to time.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So, we're back back on the wheel. I read the email last.
It makes it my turn, isn't it?
Yup.
Let me get back to the emails.
Okay.
Let's see. Hey there, Notcasters. Excuse my creative greetings, I'm too lazy to think. I'm a longtime listener, but I've never written in. I can't suggest a topic to you, but I'm in a bit of a predicament. I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for 2 years. It's been long distance for the most part, but we've met up in person for extended periods. It's always been great. I love him to death, and although I'm not ready for an engagement just yet, it might seem lame for people our age, I gave him a promise ring. There's a bit of an age gap, but that's never been a problem for us, as we're both consenting adults. Now, here's where the problem's with. He's been having problems with crippling depression lately, and he's been shutting himself in. So the past 6 months, he's had a period where he ignores his friends, family, and me. These last anywhere between one day and a week. However, lately they've been lasting longer and longer. Recently, he did ignore me for 3 weeks straight. When I finally did call, he claimed that I was a hindrance on me, and he wanted to break up. I think he meant he claimed I was a hindrance on me?
He was a hindrance on him.
That's what I thought. Maybe.
Yeah.
I told him that although it hurts me when he won't talk to me, and I understand he's depressed, and I still love him more than anything. He says he still loves me, too, but I have no idea what to do. I can't foresee him getting any better without help, and he's got no family willing to help him, and he's unable to get professional help in his country for a reason that would take ages for me to explain. I'm saving up to visit him. I'm even willing to take a semester off, with both of us being unemployed and me not receiving any commissions. It's extremely difficult. I would do anything to save this relationship because I've never been happier. I'm looking for advice. If you guys have any for me, it would be greatly appreciated. Thanks. Akatsuki talks to Desperate Bear Dog. So,
that's
tough. Very tough. Unpleasant. I'm sorry.
It's hard to say without knowing why he can't get some kind of help in what country he's living in.
Yeah.
Because that's really the best way to go about this.
Because, I mean, if you're one of those Canadians talking about our horrible American healthcare system, well, you're right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, he needs to get local help, and he needs to probably get on some drugs. But if he's not willing to do that,
Or not able
to do that
for some reason,
and you don't have money, and you don't have jobs, and you don't have commissions. I don't know.
You're going to have to fix one of these things before anything else will fall into place.
Yeah. And taking off time from school, that's not a good idea, too, because you get out of the swing of things, and you might not go back.
Yeah.
And school's really important.
And that, and having someone that walks away from you for 3 weeks, that's a bit much. And you got the patience of a saint, because I couldn't deal with that. Because I just couldn't. That would bother the ever-living hell out of me.
Depression's a bitch.
You need to focus on getting a job if you're going to start accumulating money to try to help this person. And that means also, though, continuing your school, because, So you need to do that, and then maybe you can be the angle to get him some proper help.
It basically comes down to what's causing the depression, what's preventing him from getting help, and try to find ways around that, because until he fixes that, there's not going to be a lot that you can do.
You can't, it's impossible to help someone who's not, willing to make the steps.
Well, it's not even necessarily willing, it's being able, because sometimes depression's so crippling, you can't do much without someone kind of really stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
So, all I can say is, if you can give us more information, we might have more advice.
Yeah, this isn't actually a situation where we do need more information before we can really say, yeah, you should do this.
So
next email, then?
Yeah.
Can we crank up the air? I'm burning up.
It's because I'm so hot.
I think so. Yeah, you're radiating heat like a furnace.
Extra limbs.
Yeah. All that extra myrrh and fur and stuff. Okay, let's see.
Her.
And der, and ooh, a fan.
Yes.
My number one fan.
So yes, read an email there.
Okay. On the hunt. In regard to Saverin's thoughts on The Lost World last week, it sounds like a glorified alternate reality game. Which is fine, really. I mean, alternate reality games have to be the best creation of modern times, I think. I don't know. I kind of like penicillin, but I digress. It involves a lot of critical thinking skills, and they can be pretty fun. And I'd also like to thank Savern for mentioning Slender Man 2 episodes ago. A quick search brought me to an ARG called Marble Hornets, which I'm sure Savern and many of the listeners have heard of. Have you, Savern?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the origin of Slender Man.
Oh, okay. Mm. I spent the day in delighted horror as I watched the events of the entries unfold. So thank you, Savern. The series has been very entertaining thus far. In fact, what are your thoughts on ARG's Marble Hornets, if you actually have watched it, Savern? The Spider from the Lakes, Isaiah.
Hey, ooh, look, a spider!
I was going to say goddamn spider.
Ooh.
So, yeah, there are some argy parts of Secret World. Some of them require outdoor knowledge. Or outside knowledge. Outdoor knowledge.
Are you going camping or are you playing a video game?
Yes.
Well, like, I did one of the investigation missions here today in the Blue Mountain Zone that was a series of math problems that you needed to figure out what the next number in many in several sequences are. And some of them were like Fibonacci sequences. Some of them were not a normal sequence. Some of them like Phoenix, spheric numbers. It's one of these things where it's like you had to do some looking if you weren't a math major.
Interesting.
And there was a question that was in binary.
Huh. Is this the same game you were talking about where you had to like Google shit?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And this is the kind of stuff that you encounter. And the investigation missions, because you can't do them, are worth ridiculous amounts of XP to do. But it was just it was a neat little diversion because you had to go to these various places, and to crack the security, you had to put in these logic answers, which I guess they didn't figure that anybody with a smartphone and Wolfram Alpha wouldn't wander by and try to hack their consoles. I don't know. In any event, it was a neat little diversion. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of MMO stuff. Hunt down, kill 5 of these.
Collect their penises. Something.
Make a penis necklace.
Equip this chainsaw and massacre a bunch of zombies. Why? Because the quest is called the Main Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah, ARGs can be really cool if they're done well. The potato arg for Portal 2 is kind of neat.
What's this ARG thing that you keep mentioning?
ARG, it's an alternate reality game. It's a game that utilizes the real world and stuff like that. You have to hunt around for information. You know, it's usually somebody finds a site in, you know, Valve's that's owned by Valve that's called something really weird, and the only thing on it is like this data file, which you download and then hack to pieces to try to find clues. You know, you convert it into an audio file. Does it do anything? Are there images?
It's just screaming. Screaming all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of fucked up audio files, I wanted to mention that thing that we were shown earlier of the really creepy, it's the fax modem sound that slowed down like
700%, he said?
700 or 900. I thought there was a 9 in it. But.
Really? There was another ARG called The Beast, which Panther is sending my way. It was created by Team Microsoft to promote the Steven Spielberg film AI, Artificial Intelligent. The Beast, which ran for 12 weeks in the spring and early summer of 2001, is one of the most influential early ARG games. I'll include a note. In the show notes, you guys are going to have to look at the show notes because there's tons of links this week.
Ask Panther if he would consider the a lot of the alternate advertising for Nine Inch Nails Year Zero when it came out. Is that a form of ARG? Sort of? Okay. But I just thought what they did was very interesting. There was something like, they would leave a thumb drive with a file on it in the bathroom at a venue where Nine Inch Nails was playing, and it would have a clue on it, and you know, to certain websites that were linked to, and then there would be like a file hidden in the website that you had to fuck around with and stuff like that. And pretty cool stuff. It's like that. It's a hell of a lot of effort to go through to market something, but it makes it really kind of cool.
But yeah, it's when you figure it out, you're like, whoa, that's, huh.
Yeah.
That's really clever. I'll check them out.
Hmm.
You know, so those are pretty cool. I haven't seen Marble Hornets. Just time constraints, I guess. But I do like the fact that it's such a pulled out of whole cloth internet creature that is people have, like, you know, brought into the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next email?
Yeah, that'll be Saturn starting then.
Yep, all right. Your favorite time vampires. For a random topic, what stuff do you guys do when you have a few hours to kill? Favorite websites, video games, hobbies, etc., etc. Me? I've read through the entire archives at crack.com and given me an endless entertainment and a wealth of random trivia. It's a pretty awesome humor site that runs articles like The 7 Reasons a Zombie Apocalypse Would Fail and Quickly, or 6 Ways Your Brain is Secretly Trying to Kill You, 6 Most Terrifying Insects in the World, and other stuff of that nature. I also play a lot of Fallout. New Vegas is the one I'm on now. It's a really detailed RPG by Bethesda, creators of Skyrim, set in a post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland. In before Interplay made the original. I think it was Interplay. I don't know. But it's Fallout 4. So in a post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland, you collect armor, weapons, repair them from when they break, barter for goods, bottle caps, shoot mutants and raiders, etc. I love the incredibly detailed and vast world. I tend to favor skill-based sniper characters who use a lot of stealth, suppressed weapons, and can pick a lock and hack computers. It's glitchy as hell, though, so you have to save frequently.
So, time wasters.
Mm.
I've got several. There's usually a couple of TV series that me and my mate Siam watch. I play WoW. I still sometimes play WoW. I don't play as much as I used to. I love to cook, so sometimes my projects can take several hours. They're usually tasty, and my friends thank me afterwards, but when I sit down to make some of the involved stuff completely from scratch, it takes a lot of time. I crochet. I've made several very, very large blankets, which take several miles of yarn each. so that takes a lot of time to do. Lately, I've just had, like, little bits and pieces. I haven't had a lot of free time between Furry Fiesta stuff, the new mate, and just things.
It's a new mate. It's like a new puppy.
Yeah, actually.
Have to get him bed trained. I mean, house trained.
So
God, I hope he listens to this. This is going to be so awkward. Anyway.
You either hope he does or he doesn't.
I don't know. Awkward can be fun.
It's his own damn fault. So, yeah. There's lots of little things. But
those for me, I like FARC. I read FARC. It's news, my source of news. The comments are usually better than those on the news sites. I browse 4chan. I play video games and read books.
You read? Oh, no. Oh, that was the other
thing. I read books and learn things.
You learn good?
And read stories about lesbian horses.
Unicorns?
Occasionally. A unicorn and a Pegasus.
Angel Wingman. Wing. Wing.
Am I turning you on right now?
Oh, yeah. I'd worship that ass.
Because it's made of marshmallow fluff?
I can't wait to stick my cock between Rarity's marshmallowy ass cheeks.
Ugh. the most magical friendship of all.
So, yeah, what about you?
Me, like, I'll watch, like old, like, Star Trek episodes on Netflix, like, on a night when I want to just have a night by myself where I don't want to work on anything. It'll be, like, order a pizza, flop on the couch, pull up Netflix on the Apple TV. I also tend to get what my mate and I have just sort of shorthanded to Lost in the Tubes, which is when you just kind of sit in front of your computer and you just lose an hour or two just by...
You're looking at stuff.
Oh, God.
Just browsing, clicking on things. And I'm now also calling it Lost in the Mini Tubes when I'm on my phone.
Stumble Upon is my addiction when I'm just channel surfing. Hit the Stumble Upon button, find something new. Stumble upon something new. And it's a killer time waster.
I've never really used it.
It's like channel surfing for your computer. But
just for me, a lot of times it's like if I get a few minutes that I need like a mind break from my job when I'm at work, it's just pulling up my phone, flipping through Twitter or something like that. I don't really have a lot of... And it's not solely because of the business, but... Like, I never really played video games anyway, even before the company, so I don't really have a lot of time or spend a lot of time doing that kind of thing. I'll read on the train quite often. You know, sometimes personal stuff, sometimes for company stuff. By personal stuff, I mean a book that I've bought just for the pleasure of reading as opposed to, something we're publishing. But, yeah, that's sleeping. Sleeping's nice. Sometimes I come home from work, and I putter around for a while, and I get a few things done, and I reply to some emails or do a project. And then it gets like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go to bed. Because I don't get enough sleep. And there's just some days where I'm just like, you know, it's early, but fuck if I'm not exhausted.
Mm.
You know? And I gotta get up at like 5:30 anyway.
So. See, that's one thing I always liked about commuting to and from where I was living to down to Sydney when I lived in Oz. It was a 2-hour commute, but because it's
train,
you could just sit there, grab a book, and enjoy the trip. You didn't have to sit there and watch traffic and dodge and worry about anybody.
So you would commute 2 hours into work and 2 hours home? Wow, that's a long commute.
Yeah, well, that's what the Aussie was doing. I'd just go into town to visit him.
Oh, okay.
But it was still a 2-hour each way, each day, so he had a long commute.
Damn, yeah.
So, yeah. I did not relish him, but at least could get on the train, nap, or read or something, and not have to worry about driving actively.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's actually the best part of the train. It's like a 40-minute train ride, and... I can read if I have the energy to, or just sort of stare off into space.
Zone.
Yeah, zone. I can't really sleep, but yeah, because I zoned out one day and I nearly missed my stop. Luckily, there's two stops in a row downtown that are like they're both pretty equidistant to the building, so it doesn't matter if I miss the first. Usually, I get off the first one. If I miss it, I can get off on the second one, which luckily. But, yeah, I just kind of zoned out one morning. It was like, oh, shit, I was supposed to get off the train.
At least you didn't go too far further onwards.
Yeah, yeah. So. Like I lucked out there. So
that would have been awkward.
Yep.
So, onwards.
Let's yep.
Find a new one. Do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Discussion topic.
Okay.
Hey guys, Wolfie Man here with a topic or two. First, whatever happened to the birthday present for Zavrin?
Somebody's asking about that. I've been PM'd about it on FA.
I know. I mean,
he's a slack ass.
He's a slacker, and we promised you guys an unboxing video.
It's going to happen. I'm sorry it's not for your birthday. I know you really, really want your horse vagina.
I know. I mean, it's not rarity, but I'll be fine.
uh, um, You'll be more than fine. Besides, she's a lesbian. You'll have to eat her out. It's okay. I'll stick a
is
can.
Is that
of
why you hold it up and eat it like a snow cone?
I'll stick a can of tuna on the other end so you can get that authentic scent. Oh God!
Just move on. Just move on.
No, I think we need to have a long, detailed discussion about Rainbow Dash's vagina.
Second, I
tastes like Skittles.
Smells like cotton candy.
Second, I thought I might mention
an issue. Candy.
An issue with
comes
some,
out wrapped.
Some toys. A few
like
shows
Snickers.
Back, you mentioned an inflatable toy from your sponsors that was marked for anal use only. You weren't sure why, but I think I know what. I think I know. Certain toys, particularly...
Rarity's diarrhea is marshmallow fluff.
Guys.
That was awful.
Certain toys, particularly those made from jelly or certain plasticide rubber and silicone...
You jelly?
...include chemicals called phthalates. These have been linked to lovely
aren't
things.
Aren't those things that, like, the Scientologists are trying to get out of their bodies?
I don't know.
Okay.
These have been linked to lovely things like cervical cancer and birth defects. Mm. So they tend not to recommend these materials for vaginal toys without the use of condoms. Look up Toxic Toy Coalition for more advice. I thought these might be fun, important topics for the audience, So until later, I remain howlingly yours, Wolfie Man.
I think we discussed this on an episode a couple years back as well, as we were talking about
safe
what
toy materials.
Yeah. Because I think it was Bad Dragon's advertising that they make theirs out of safe materials. Is that right?
Yeah, because at the time, Zeta Creations, the ones who made the original dog cock dildos, were using the phthalates. How do you pronounce them?
Thetans.
Yeah, the Thetans. Install extra Thetans into your ass.
Yeah.
It's terrible for Scientologists. don't do those. And actually, a lot of those have been...
Recalled?
Have pulled. Been phased out.
Yeah.
It just make sure you read the description on your dongers. Because,
So, more healthful ass sex advice.
Yep.
Don't put Scientologists in your butt.
Or spiders.
Or spiders.
Oh, guys.
Or ponies.
Well, are you implying that I shouldn't go purchase an XXXL chance from Bad Dragon?
You can if you want.
It's only the size of my arm.
Yeah. You can stick that in your ass and then I'll give you your Rainbow Dash vagina.
Panther says no. Oh. No, you're denied.
How about a regular one?
No.
Yeah, I can't get a horse cock dildo.
No, he wants you nice and tight.
Sigh. I can't quietly go.
Oh God, Dornan King.
I can't go. Oh, Brayburn.
No, because.
Does Chance come in Big Red, Big Mac Red?
Oh, I bet you can order it in that color.
I got doorknobbed. This is the first time I've ever been doorknobbed.
So now,
for
the first time, you will hear Panther's voice on the podcast as he speaks to Saverin. I said no to that fisting, but I'd really like to claim that ass.
Well, it's gonna be a triple drive-by doorknobbing as Panther beats us all.
Panther's actually home tonight to administer the beatings.
Yeah, he's normally he goes over to Webster's and watches TV, and she's out of town, and
we're not doorknobbed.
So he has a doorknob cane,
and he beats me with it.
Moving on.
Yes.
Is it my turn now? You read that one. Okay. Some plug stuff.
Plugs.
Okay, get your mind out of the gutter with the subject title. I know you guys sometimes will plug an advertisement, or advertisement, as they say in the old country, for others offering this, that, or the other. being an open topic week, I figured I'd ask for a plug as well as for a Facebook group, as well for a Facebook group I started. It's called 18 Wheels and a Tail. It's for truckerfers to have a place to chat and find others out here on the open roads. But it's still really new, and Facebook apparently sucks for finding groups to join on your own. The group is for any trucking fur or those close to them and or the industry, or just have an appreciation of us out there. If you can't find the group by searching for it by the title, the direct link is at link, which Saverin will add to the show notes, the ever-growing show notes for this week, for you to include in the show notes. Thank you, Nare Mooncat. He's written it before, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a trucker.
Obviously.
I think we've got like two of them.
Yes.
P.S. Wow, this email sounds all serious and stuff after proofreading.
Please give me a shout-out. All right, well, it's in the show notes. There's going to be... So there are currently 5 links in the show notes. Let's see if we can make it a half dozen by the end.
For those at home, we had a couple of people asking us where the show notes are. If you're on an iPod, it's like the 4th thing on there. If you're using iTunes, you can pull it up there. However, where the links are actually clickable will be on the blog on our website. So if you go to foxstuffers.com or notcast.com and you go to the news page, that actually prints there. The same show notes that appear on the iPod and in iTunes. And there you can actually click all the links that we're referencing here. So for any episode, if you need to hear whenever we say we're putting it in the show notes, provided Saverin remembers to add it to the show notes, you can go to the website and it will be there. But yep. That's kind of cool. Truckerfurs. Okay. So, next email, Saverin. There's only a couple left.
Yay! I'm going to read an email.
Have fun with that.
Talk about sadistic animal killers.
Yeah, wait, what?
Hello, hurlers of bulbous glandi. Was just listening to episode 186, where Shiva mentioned jerks who run over animals for fun. It turns out there are a lot of people, with quotation marks, who actively try to kill things when they see them on the road. There's a link to a Gizmodo article...
Which you can add to the show notes.
Yay! We made a half dozen. Roadkill experiment shows that 6% of drivers are sadistic animal killers.
Well, it's a Gizmodo article, and it's linked in the show notes.
Basically, he would put a rubber animal... and a leaf as a control object on the shoulder of a road with a turtle, a snake, or a spider, and he watched 1,000 cars pass by and annotated the driver's reactions. He found that 94% of the drivers did what anyone in their sane mind would do, keep driving in their lane. Remember, the animals were on the road's shoulder, way outside the driving path. They didn't pose any danger whatsoever to the driver's safety. On the other hand, 6% went out of the driving lane to run over the animals. Think about that. 60 out of 1,000 drivers actually went out of their way to kill a living thing that didn't represent a danger to their lives and risking their own lives in the process, no less.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whereas the majority of people would swerve to avoid an animal.
These went for them. Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, the majority of them... Okay, they say, though, the further down that... It's still quite a surprisingly high number. He says that if because he used a large rubber tarantula, people would run those over. But if you take that out, it goes to 2.8%, which is still closer to the other turtle versus snake studies he ended up finding. But it's still a high number, at least compared to the 2008 study using the psychopathy checklist. Psychopathy? I don't know. Which was discovered that 1.2% of the U.S. population were potential psychopaths. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And,
So, nice
89% of the 6% were SUV drivers. So, not only are they compensating for their tiny penises.
Yeah.
They're more likely to be evil fuckheads.
Alright, so that takes us to the final one of the night. Naughty Ranvilcast. After hearing Fuzz's story about him being shy about asking for a spanking commission a few episodes back, I got to wonder if the other members had similar thoughts when they were young. So did you guys have any kinks that you thought were really out there or make you feel like a big sexual deviant at the time when you were first exploring your sexuality? Yours truly, Fortune Otter. So have you ever felt like a big pervert for something you liked?
No, all the time. That's directed to the two of you since I discussed the spanking.
Well, one. I didn't know if you had anything else.
Not really.
Anything, really, that any of my kinks, which are well-documented on my gallery by now. You know, the first couple cons when you're, like, just kind of coming out of the shell for the first time. Mm-hmm. So the spanky pictures, the cross-dressing pictures, hell, just like, will you draw two guys doing something? You know, it was, like, controversial. It's like a relatively mundane, normal thing now that maybe you felt like you should be ashamed of or was weird or something.
Yeah, it's one of those, I don't really have anything that far out there.
You don't really commission much, though.
I know I don't.
And that's just it. Is a lot of what I tend to commission tends to be kind of cheesecakey. A lot of my kinks and such isn't something you could really commission. You could do it in a story, but not in, like, artwork. Because, yeah, it's, I can kind of see maybe ways to draw them, maybe. But I've never actually felt that much of a, like, I'm out there for any of the things that I like, just because I like them. It is kind of like if I think people have problems with it, I don't share it, but it's kind of mine to enjoy, and I don't really have any sense of shame.
You don't give a fuck.
Oh. More like, it's like a lot of my other philosophy, just not worth having any kind of conflict over. I like it, don't care to explain it to other people, they can fuck off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's about it. We're boring,
yeah.
I guess.
It's no one shame. Of those things where it's like, I don't commission a lot of stuff, and I just don't. It's one of those things. The most I've commissioned on the last few years is a badge or two.
I usually get a bunch of art at Furry Fiesta, but that's because I kind of...
I don't feel the need to put a lot of my stuff to paper, my thoughts to paper, like that. I don't need hot images of, you know, characters fucking to appreciate them.
So,
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I have some sort of need that you don't. You're above all that.
Oh, yeah. Don't you fucking know it. You people with your lack of imagination and desire to bank it to dog people fucking.
I like girly boys, but I don't really have any character of my own to... I enjoy the art of, but I don't really have any of my own characters to get commissioned of it.
And Saverin's terribly generic.
He is?
He's a green-eyed finnick. He doesn't have an angel wing or a demon wing or a unicorn horn.
Would be funny.
He's just a normal character.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, the exiled prince of some far-off star system. He's just this guy.
I'm just imagining picture of Shasavran, unicorn horn tied on underneath his chin, saying, I'm unique.
I'm a pretty, pretty princess.
Part of my ideas, I guess, are like, early on in my fandom career, whatever, I had... I got a lot of things that were like illustrations of scenes from my stories.
Yeah.
But, as time has gone on, like, I've gotten a few where it's like just me and a friend that have had similar interests have been like, well, let's go half for commission. Like, I was just talking to,
like you and Teal? Haven't you guys had stuff done together, I thought?
No, not with Teal, but with Rikoshi. I was just funny enough talking to Ricky about this the other day about how we had that series of pictures by Jailbird of our characters drawn because we have a couple of similar interests. And it's like, well, yeah, rather than a random character I made up or something, sure, go half with a friend and have something that we both enjoy. That's cool. Mm-hmm. You know? So I've got a few like that.
I've gotten a couple pieces done with Siam. They usually tend to be more whimsical than anything else like that.
It's Chakats, and they're prancing in the field with butterflies and laser guns and rockets and dinosaurs.
And Jesus is riding a dinosaur in the background. God, there's so much detail in this piece.
I love him, but Siam can be kind of a derp. He gets Tor. He gets the Tor part, kind of forgets about other aspects of the character. He gets the Tor, and there's something involving a tiger involved in there. But other than that, he tends to... Yeah, forget things.
I had this thought the other day. It's like, if for a tar things go pear shaped, do they go straight?
Yes.
Instead of going L shaped, they go straight.
Yes.
Right.
Like, oh god, oh god, my spine is no longer a 90-degree angle. Ah. it's straight, and I have incredibly long. Holy fuck, what is this?
Yeah. Suddenly you're a centipede.
Sweetie peed.
So, do we have any ideas for next week? Because we usually don't, but sometimes we have bulbs of brilliance.
188.
When this baby hits 188, insert topic here.
I don't know. I'm sure, so, we could think of something.
Fap to the future.
Fap to the future?
Yes.
What are you going to masturbate to in the future? Holographic furry porn.
God knows, it probably's coming.
It certainly is. That's why it's so hot.
In your face. Regular porn. Literally.
I gotta stop yawning, god damn it.
3D immersive. That would be funny. Porn.
It's like the technological frontier of porn. It's like, mm-hmm. where would you like to see technology go with porn?
Well, I mean, I kind of see it. Like, you know, you're watching like a 3D porn, you know, and the cum shot is like right at you, and then I sneak up behind you and I dump a jar of mayonnaise on your head. And
oh god,
it's truly 3D. This cum is really cold. It came out of the fridge.
What would be awesome is still is when they, and because I'm sure that they're going to do this, is like sensory recording, and when you've got stars that are really, really good at coming and recording their orgasm, that you can just kind of sit there and play through it.
What, where you can feel what they're feeling?
Yeah.
Oh, like in Strange Days.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah, but then you get the people that are, you know, addicted to orgasms and...
They just keep hitting that shiny red button over and over and over again.
And that's why in pretty much all science fiction, better than life simulations are always bad.
Yeah.
They were bad on Red Dwarf. They're bad in Shadowrun. They're bad everywhere.
You'll wear out the orgasm center of your brain.
And then your brain will only come dust.
Poof. So, yeah.
So, as always, the topic's going to get posted on our Fur Affinity, and then it'll get tweeted on our Twitter account. So why don't we talk about that? You can follow us on Fur Affinity under Notcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at Notcast. There is an ancient relic of the past called a Live Journal. I know some of you might have never heard of this. It used to be a big deal about 10 years ago that has under... Notcast.
I'm sensing a trend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's lots of trends. You can find us on iTunes and subscribe to us there at Notcast on iTunes. Just search in the store. And we'd appreciate it if we got a review or two, because there are people listening to this. You know, don't tell us that we are terrible people and we suck and we should kill ourselves. But a review would be nice. And,
Buy dongs.
Buy dongs from AdamEve.com. Helps us...
Get to cons
and stuff. It's going to help them get to cons. It's going to help Shiva get to the con, mm-hmm. for all your dong purchasing.
So, yes.
And follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Savrin Drake.
Go ahead.
Fumble Chimera on Twitter. Khymaera.
And I am Fuzzwolf 2000, because Fuzzwolf was taken.
Yes. Isn't that crazy, though? Putting the 2000, 2001 in the name, and then it's like, that was 11 years ago.
Well, that was...
Well, what happened was, way back when I didn't have my own computer, some local friends built me a computer, and they installed AIM and ICQ, and they basically set up the whole thing. And when he registered my NICs, Fuzzwolf was already taken then on AIM, so he made it Fuzzwolf 2000. So that was just what I fell back to when I made my Twitter account.
Oh, like, I know. I'm not criticizing at all. I just think it's funny. Just,
yeah.
That, like, there's like, on 35 and near 12, there's a pair of clubs called 2001, 2008 that have been there since before 2001. And I thought maybe they were like positioning themselves as a future club. Now it's like they're in the past club.
Right.
Come back to 2001, where the economy was still decent and we hadn't been attacked by terrorist shitheads. And the nation was not comprised of lots of cowards.
Yeah.
In 2008, come to a time before the housing crisis.
Actually, that's when it was starting to hit, but yeah. So.
Yeah.
Hey, we had some reviews. We had 3 reviews this month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, cool. Guys.
Thanks, Brony Dust, Shiroshima Tora, and Takun Soho, 3 people that gave us 5-star reviews here in July.
Thank you.
Cool. We appreciate that. You can be our 5-star furries for the week.
Yay! So, we'll go ahead and wrap that up, and we will see you in the future.
Yep.
Marty! Get that cock out of me.
I'm too old for this.
On that note,
good night.
And big balls.